So we're going to start a new Bible lesson this morning. I'm excited about it. It's going to be called The Five Greatest Revelations I Have Received from God Since Becoming a Christian. The Five Greatest Revelations I Have Received from God Since Becoming a Christian. I'm doing them in chronological order about how the Lord spoke to me. And so some of these revelations came to me before I was ever a minister or a Bible teacher. And then some of them came to me while I was a Bible teacher and a minister. And so I'm also going to throw in a little bit of my testimony along the way, just so people on the radio and the internet can understand just exactly it is they're listening to. It's probably not the same testimony as Norman Vincent Peale or Franklin Graham or anybody like that. But anyway, I think it's interesting to hear the story. So the five greatest revelations I have received from God since becoming a Christian. I'm going to do them one at a time, because if I put all five of them up, you know how I am. I'll teach all five of them. So I want to do them one at a time so I get my points made about the revelation, and you'll see that they're kind of progressive. So the very first revelation I received when I became a Christian in 1978 was this. This is the very first revelation. I got epistle lighted. I got epistle lighted. Say that, everybody. Now, James has posted that on our webpage to become epistle lighted. And so I want to tell you, the Lord gave me this last week. He began to talk to me about this, and he reminded me of some things that I had forgotten. So I was born and raised a Roman Catholic, and a lot of people hear me and they think I'm anti-Catholic, and I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm just simply telling you that I was born and raised a Catholic, and I had no knowledge or understanding of the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I did not even know when I went to Catholic Mass, I did not even know that some of the stuff they did during the Mass, some of the readings they had during the Mass, and they make it real ceremonial, but some of the stuff that they read during the Mass, I didn't even know that was coming out of the Bible. I didn't know that was the Bible. And then, of course, the priest will come up after somebody does the reading, and he'll come up and read out of the gospel so everybody stands up as though the gospel has more prominence than any other part of the Bible. And I'm going to discuss that with you and talk about these things with you. And again, we're helping people. You have to understand that the people I minister to are not regular church attenders. Regular church attenders don't like what we're telling people. They want me to tell people that God did something bad so he could teach them a lesson. And they won't get that from Markey. You'll have to go somewhere else to get that. So I'm trying to help regular Bible people understand. So I had no understanding of the scriptures. And so in 1978, a little bit prior to that, some of my family got born again through the Catholic Charismatic movement. And it was a major move of God, a powerful move of God. And so my sister and my mother got caught up in it. And then my girlfriend got caught up in it. And so what the Lord reminded me of is that the very first Bible that was ever given to me was given to me in 1978 on Valentine's Day. My girlfriend gave me a Bible as a Valentine's present. Wasn't that sweet? I'm not going to talk about much else. Well, I will tell you some other things. Anyway, so I'm kind of sharing that because in my testimony you'll find out that she was involved and my mother was involved and my sister was involved and finally my daddy got involved and finally I got involved. And so in July of 1978, I became a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And I had a supernatural divine encounter with God on the Loretta Highway on the way back from Loretta. I dropped my girlfriend off, gave her a kiss, told her I'd see her later. But I'd gotten acclimated to the things of God. My mother was having a Bible study. Y'all have heard this, but I want people on the radio to hear it. My mother was having a Bible study, and it was attracting a lot of the prominent women in town. And I would sneak off at lunch just to hear those women sing songs. So I knew the Lord was working on my heart, because at first I told him, now look, I'm not ready for this. I'll do this when I'm later, older. How many has ever said that? I'll turn to Jesus when I'm older. I've still got a lot of wild oats to sow. And so anyway, I finally got drawn in. I began to sing the song, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And Jesus came into my heart. I think I was spirit-filled at the same time, but anyway, a couple of weeks later, they started talking about you can be filled with the Spirit and speak with tongues, and I said, I'll take it, and I got it. So I had this Bible, not this one, not this quality of Bible, but I had a Bible, and so I want to share this with you because it's very important. When she gave me that Bible in Valentine's Day of 1978, I was not a Christian. So how much effect do you think the Bible had on me? You got to understand this. The Bible's not written to the sinner. The Bible's written to the saint. The Bible's written to believers. The Bible's written to people who've had their heart changed by the Spirit of God. So I'll never forget, I tell this story all the time, and I was ignorant about how to even read the Bible. And so she gave me this Bible, and I thought, you know, these people are all acting crazy, talking about Jesus, and you got to receive Him as Lord and all that kind of stuff. I figured, well, I might as well read the Bible and find out what they're talking about. And so, not knowing anything about the Bible, where do you think I started? Page one. How long do you think I lasted? Hell, I love y'all. How long do you think I lasted when I started at page one? I thought, man, what's this all about? So God created the heaven and the earth. Now listen, this is going to sound sacrilegious, but you'll get something later. I'm like, whoopee. I mean, I believe that anyway. I always believe God created everything. I mean, I'm not stupid enough to think that the human eye evolved or that the sun just decided to go 94 million miles from the earth. Come on, you got to be, the world's brainwashed. They're brainwashed. So anyway, I made an effort and started in Genesis, and I'll use Becky's humor and say I got to page two. I think I actually got to about sixth chapter, and I said, my Lord, no wonder nobody wants to read the Bible. So anyway, in July of 78, I got born again, and I remember that my grandmother had always told us, we were raised Catholics, staunch Catholics, in church every Sunday. I was an altar boy. Thank God I never dealt with any abuse by anybody. Thank God. They don't usually prey on people that have a good mom and dad, because my dad would have killed somebody if they'd have done something to me. Guarantee you. I mean, you think I'm lying? If you think I'm lying, my daddy would have killed somebody. For whatever reason, whenever Billy Graham was on TV, there's two things that happened to me. Whenever Billy Graham was on TV, she'd always make us stop and watch him. And I mean, I'd watch him, and I'd think, well, what's he talking about? Sounds interesting. What's he talking about? So I get born again in July of 78. So two things happen to me. I get born again in July of 78, and I see a Billy Graham crusade on TV, and I stand up and say, my God, how long has he been preaching the gospel? You know why? My heart had become in tune with God. The natural man can't receive this book. You don't go around and beat sinners over the head with the Bible. You get them born again first. Is everybody listening to me? Don't be Bible thumping sinners. You don't even want to Bible thump Christians, because most of them don't understand the Bible anyway. And let's be completely honest, and I found this out in our lovely group of fellowshippers, that very few people really read the Bible because they're overwhelmed by it. Can I get an amen? So I go back, I see that Billy Graham's been preaching the gospel, and I said, how long has he been doing that? And so then I go back, I'm born again, I'm spirit-filled, and then I go back and I open my Bible to Genesis chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and I said, hallelujah to God! Why? Because I connected to Him. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? So I want to start out with this verse of Scripture, because I don't want anybody to go off and say false things about me. I'm going to start out. So the very first revelation I received from God was I got epistolated. So I'm brand new Bible. I'm a brand new Christian. Never read the Bible. I'm spirit-filled. But I want to start out with this verse, because I want to make sure everybody understands something. All Scripture, everybody say all Scripture.
All Scripture.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. How much Scripture is given by inspiration of God? I want everybody to understand. Don't ever lie on me. This book that I'm holding up is the infallible word of the living God that God breathed. And from Genesis chapter 1 to, I believe it's Revelation 22, maybe, 21 or 22, it's all God inspired, and nobody should ever subtract from it or add to it. Anybody that wants to get you involved in another book besides the Bible is a cult. Are you listening to me? I don't have to name names. Anybody that wants to get you involved in any book besides this book is a cult, because it contains the mind and heart and word of God. It is Jesus in written form. Everybody listening? I want to give you one other verse to back that up. And this is Paul the Apostle, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, who got the Pauline revelation. And it says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. What things? What things? All the Old Testament, all the things in the Old Testament were written for our examples. And do you know that the Apostle Paul got the revelation of salvation by grace through faith through the Old Testament, through two verses in particular? When we were having Bible studies at home, I tried to teach y'all this, and nobody would ever remember it. There's two verses in particular that he got the revelation of the grace, the salvation by grace through faith. One of them was Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God before he was circumcised. He believed God even though his life didn't measure up and didn't qualify him to be righteous, because he gave up his wife twice. Amen. I mean, he's just a man, a great man, one of my favorite Bible persons in the Old Testament. But through that revelation, he understood that righteousness didn't come by works. Righteousness came by faith. And then the other one is my favorite one, Habakkuk. How many of you have ever read the prophet Habakkuk? Don't lie, none of us. And out of that book, he got the revelation, the just shall live by faith. The whole book of Romans is based on those two verses in the Old Testament. So don't ever tell anybody, or don't ever let anybody tell you that Mark Browning doesn't believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But it is progressive revelation. And everything in the Bible is accurately stated. Listen to this. Got this from Fred Price. Everything in the Bible is accurately stated, but everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. See? Everything in the Bible is accurately stated, but everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. See, Job said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was accurately stated that that's what Job said, but that's not the way it really is. The Lord don't take away. Now, it's appointed unto man to die because we're under the law of sin and death, but he's not taking people. Are you with me? And most people, from last week's sermon, most of y'all know that hardly anybody has really lived out the fullness of their days according to the will of God. Tracking? So I began to read the Bible as a born-again, spirit-filled person. And if I recall correctly, I think I did finish the book of Genesis. And of all the Old Testament books, that's probably the one I've read the most. But I listened to Billy Graham on one of his sermons. He was on TV about once a month. He'd have crusades everywhere. And I heard him say that he recommended that if you start reading the Bible, he recommends that you start at the Gospel of John. And I agree with that 100%. I believe you should start at the Gospel of John to get an understanding of the greatness the unsearchable greatness of Jesus Christ. It's in the Gospel of John that you find out that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, God became flesh, and dwelt among us. And so you see his life through John's Gospel, and you see that he truly is God. And John says that he wrote these things so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name. So I always, if you listen to me any length of time, I always recommend everybody start with the Gospel of John. Still recommend it. Get acquainted with Jesus. But me and James Taylor, on the way up to see the Phillies play the D-backs in what he thought was the last game the D-backs would ever play at Chase Field this season. James, I love you. You know that. And if what James went through, if the Reds did that, I wouldn't be preaching. I'd still be down. I'd have a cover over my head. I can't live. But anyway, on the way up to Phoenix to go to that game, James started talking about some things that I know he learned from me. Did you learn it from me? Thank you, James. And so the first thing that's wrong with the Bible. Now, let me rephrase that. The first thing that's not done correctly about the books in the Bible is that it's not divided correctly. So I'm going to give you the next verse real quick. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Oh, nobody likes that word. A worker. What do you mean worker? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's say that out loud, everybody. Come on. Be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So we all got brains. God gave us brains, the greatest thing ever invented. Nothing ever can compare to the human brain. And so if you can rightly divide the scriptures, what can you also do? In my personal opinion, that's the biggest mistake that's been made relative to studying the Bible. It's been wrongly divided. How about John 19:30? When Jesus had received the sour wine. Oh, what a story. That's why you got to read the Gospel of John. Got to. If you're listening by radio or internet and you've gotten interested in the things of God because you've heard me talk and it's got you interested, get you a Bible, read the Gospel of John. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Say it, everybody. It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. What was finished? The Old Testament. The Old Testament had been fulfilled because Jesus had crossed every I and dotted every T. I think he called it jot and tittle, but I'll give you the more modern translation. He had fulfilled everything in the law and the prophets, and it was finished. So the real truth of the matter, and of course, you know, there's going to be some people that are listening on the radio and all they got's a religious spirit. Oh, my Lord. I don't want to criticize anything, but if you're going to go to a church banquet and you're a Christian, can't you at least smile at everybody? Do you have to scowl? Oh, I know him. That's that Mark Browning. That's that guy. That's who that guy is. They keep asking me back, though, Frankie, because I tell good jokes. But, I mean, can't you at least smile? Aren't we all believers? Don't we all believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Don't we all want everybody to go to heaven? Don't we? Are we against people? Do I want to go out and commit adultery against my wife? Do I want to steal things out of the grocery store? Huh? Do I want to make an honest living? Do I not want to work that hard to get it? I'm just trying to show you I ain't perfect. But for goodness sakes, we ought to smile at each other. We're all we got. And if what we got is what I saw, we're in deep trouble. You got to have somebody with some backbone and some spine And the only one I saw with some backbone and spine was the head of the organization that runs that organization. I saw him. Anyway, that's free of charge. So somebody's going to listen to what I'm getting ready to say, and they're going to say, oh, sacrilegious, sacrilegious. I knew he was goofy. But the Bible, the Old Testament, should end from Genesis to John. And I'm going to prove something to you. Y'all with me? Now, again, do we hold this part of the Bible as the Word of God? Jesus lived from it. Jesus quoted it. Jesus validated it. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hamas needs to know that. Iran needs to know that. All those fake people in the government that really support Arabs, who act like they're supporting the Jews but are really supporting Arabs. All those moronic kids in these universities that are showing their true colors. And all these college presidents in these secular liberal colleges should be fired. They're demon possessed. Don't give a nickel to one of them universities unless you get a scholarship to play basketball full ride, and then we'll protect you from everything. It's ridiculous. It's sad. It's horrible. They are promoting the genocide of the Israeli people. They want to kill all Jews because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the devil hates that. The devil knows it's through him that Jesus came. That's why he hates him. And then he hates us. We're next. We're next in this country right here. We're next. And the people that's running this country are clueless. Don't give me but two or three amens on that. So we're next. So the Bible should have been divided to Genesis to John, and then the New Testament should have started from Acts to, really and truly now, this is something else, to the Epistle of Jude. The book of Revelation is a standalone book, and I'm going to show you this in the scriptures and how God gave me this revelation. So I'm reading the Bible, never read it before in my life, and I got over there and I heard Billy Graham say, read the Gospel of John, because I'd started out in Genesis, and he got me in the right location. And so I read the Gospel of John, and guess what's after the Gospel of John? Acts of the Apostles right here. So I figure, you know, I read John's Gospel, and I read it several times. Oh, mesmerized by it. But I figured I'm in John's Gospel, I'll just go this direction. Oh, I'm so glad I went that direction. I'm so glad I went to that direction. Now let me get to Bible verses so I don't get off topic. John 16:12. In the actual Gospel of John, Jesus tells you that this is not all there is to know. There's more you need to know. You cannot understand the message of salvation by simply reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But you should read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Does everybody understand me? You should. The greatest life ever lived, the greatest life that will ever be lived, the life of God manifested in the flesh, the working of miracles. Amen. But you can't understand what it all meant by reading those Gospels because it's not told to you. It's not explained to you. You know why it's not explained to you? Here it is right here. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Who's talking? How many of you know? How many of you understand the word still? It means more to come. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What's the next verse? This is the part where I'm starting to get the revelation of being epistolated. I'm in my Bible by myself. I'm telling you, I had a Jesus encounter for 6 months of my life. I didn't care about nothing but Jesus. Nothing but the Bible, nothing but God. And I haven't been that way since. And that's a sad commentary on me. God didn't move, I moved. But I'm just simply being as honest as I can so everybody will know that I'm not trying to hold myself out to be the most reverent Mark Browning. But anyway, for 6 months, that's all I wanted to do. I'd get up in the morning and read the Bible. I went to work and went home for lunch and read the Bible. And went home at night and read the Bible till I went to bed. I never watched TV or anything about the world for about 6 months. I think I'll throw some humor in because it'll help us. And I've got time. I remember I went to work. I was the assistant manager at Key Market, which meant I had a chain of keys on my belt, made minimum wage. But to be the assistant manager of Key Market meant that at night, when the store closed, you got to be the one to take the bank bag to the bank in case you were the one that got shot. Congratulations. You got a key to the store, and you get to make the deposit at night. Anyway, and then, of course, when I got to work, you know, you work like a dog. Man, Donnie, that's hard work. That's why I try to be as nice to you guys as I can, except some of those people make it impossible. Some of those people at that checkout counter make it impossible. But anyway, a guy at the store, we were good friends, and he all these people thought I'd lost my mind. The whole town thought I'd lost my mind. My girlfriend, who gave me this Bible, thought I'd lost my mind. Because the devil comes after you. And you know what he comes after you? Whatever you love the most. Whatever you love the most, that's what he's coming after. And what she loved the most was her father and her family and her religion. I didn't know it. Now, what I loved the most was me. And I didn't mind my family either. And so it became a game of chicken between her family and my family. And my family was telling me, oh, she'll come around. She's the one who gave you the Bible. She loves the Lord. She's just going to have to sort it out. And her family was telling her, stay away from those crazy people. They've lost their mind. Guess who won as far as our relationship? Her family won. You know, I guess I should say it on the radio. I was born again in July of 78, and in July of 79, me and Donna had a beautiful child together named Elizabeth Christina. And so I thought that jump ahead of myself. I thought that disqualified me from the ministry, because how many people you know of that's a minister that's got a child out of wedlock? Huh? Not very many. So I thought it disqualified me from the ministry, Frankie. I really did. But and I backslid for 5 years, but I finally came back to the Lord. But I didn't come back the way I came back the first time. The first time I didn't care about nothing but Jesus. And that's how it really needs to be. Anybody that does great things for God, that's all they care about. I know you guys get tired of me saying his name, or you think I idol worship him, because I don't, because I want to throw this in. The Lord's telling me these things. Andrew Womack is sold out for Jesus 100%, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But God bless his heart. Would he, for the love of God, start teaching out of the King James Version of the Bible? I was reading one of his books last night before I went to bed, a couple of the Old Testament stories, and there's not a living human being that can understand it, because it's durst and thoust and woebegonstus, and I mean, speak it in the right English. Now, I know why he does it. I understand why he does it, because the Old King James Version of the Bible is the best translated Bible there is. It is. It's the most best translated, because he holds on to it because of what's the and a and of. What are those? Are those articles? Because those three words, those articles, are not presented correctly in the New King James Version of the Bible. And I don't have time to go into it, but he sticks to it because it is the most solid translation of what God wanted to get across. But for the love of God, let's get it across in English. Amen? So I just threw that in for free, and where'd that leave me off at? Oh, so here I am. I'm reading the Bible. I'm falling in love with the Lord. All I do is read my Bible. I'm getting revelation, Frank, like you'd never believe, because I never learned anything from the Bible. But I go to work one day, and the guy says, hey, Mark, are you watching the NCAA basketball tournament? Now, listen, y'all know how crazy me and him are about sports, right? I mean, that's what I created, a sportsman. But he said, have you been watching the NCAA basketball tournament? I said, is that going on? You just don't understand. I mean, in Kentucky, basketball is a religion. I said, is that going on? He said, yeah. He said, and I got to tell you, he said, there's a white guy that's good at basketball, and I think he might lead this team to the championship. I said, oh, no, can't be. White guy? Yeah, he said, his name's Larry Bird, and he can shoot like a champion, and he's tall enough that he don't have to jump high because white man can't jump, right? And he can pass the ball brilliantly. The only problem with Larry was he played on a team with four duds, and you can't win it all with four duds. You need a little help, don't you, Bryant? Anyway, he said, and also, there's this guy that plays for Michigan State, and his name is Magic Johnson. I said, Magic Johnson? Well, he said his name's really Irvin, but they call him Magic Johnson. And he said, he's a 6'9 black guy that's point guard, and he can pass the ball to everybody. And it got in my head. The Final Four turned out to be Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And I swear before the living God, that's the first time I turned the TV on to watch something. And I've kept the TV on since. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, it was true. Those boys were good. Now, there was a guy came along later that was better than them, and his name was Michael Jordan, but that's a whole other story. All right, here we go. So, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, listen to this. Oh, you got to catch this now. You got to catch it. Sorry, I didn't have my pointer. When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into... Say it, everybody. Well, what's that imply? We haven't discovered all truth yet. There's truth we don't know about. There's something else we need to learn. We need to figure out what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ meant to us. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So I got to stay in order. So this is where I'm at in John's gospel. I got that. I saw that. I got revelation on that. So being in John's gospel, I went over to Acts and read it, and it's a good book. It's a New Testament book. It's a good book. It's probably the book I've read the most because I like the stories in it. The stories are so wonderful, the miracles and all that. But then, what's after the book of Acts? The Romans. I got over to Romans. And by the grace of Almighty God and through the Spirit of God, I finally found the place in the Bible where God was speaking to me. Every sentence was for me. It was a love letter to me. It was telling me exactly what all the books in the past meant. It was telling me what all the Gospels meant. It was telling me who I was in Christ, who Jesus was, who God is. And I became epistle lighted. And every Bible that I own, if you look at them, now this is my preaching Bible. I don't have it here. I only use it here. But look even here on my preaching Bible, which pages are the most worn out? Now, does that mean we ignore the rest of the Bible? Am I throwing out the rest of the Bible? If you run into somebody and they say, don't follow that Mark Browning, he don't believe in the total Bible, you tell them, shut up. No, don't say that. Say, be quiet in Jesus' holy name. So I began to read the book of Romans. And then we don't have it, Trace, and we didn't do it, darn it. We don't have the epistle-like truth. How hard would that be to get? But anyway, I came up with this phrase. I've taught it here for 27 years. In the epistles, if it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. What do I mean by that? In the epistles, if it says you, us, or we, it's talking to born-again people who have committed their lives to Jesus, and everything in there is the all truth that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring to you when he came to live in you. Can I get an amen? So spend most of your time in your Bibles in the epistles. Spend most of your time reading Romans through Jude. Highlight everywhere where it says you, us, and me, or you, us, and we, and that includes me, don't you see? And I guarantee you it will change your life. The reason why, and listen, I've been doing this for 27 years. Andrew Womack says the same thing. People don't read their Bible. I'm just telling you straight up. I don't want to judge anybody. I'm just telling you, we don't read it. We think it's too hard to understand. We leave it to me. We leave it to people like me on Sunday mornings to read it. You listening to me? Now, let me tell you a sad part of my testimony. All right, here it is. All right, let's say it, everybody. The epistle-like truth. Say it with me. In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. You know, so I had 6 months' time where I lived in the Bible, got these revelations. And I got these revelations. This is progressive, so I'll go into more detail. But I got these revelations without any TV minister or anybody telling me these things. I figured out spirit, soul, and body on my own, all by myself. And I actually thought, now I was arrogant a little bit. I had some arrogance. Novices, see, you should never put a novice in a leadership position. Just because a celebrity says that he's born again, don't let him speak at an event in front of 5,000 people, because 2 weeks later, he might renounce God. Jane Fonda claimed to be a Christian for like 2 months. Come on. I lived, and I got these revelations all on my own by the Holy Spirit. And then I found ministers that were teaching the same things, but I knew them already. And so the sad part about it is, life, I backslid for 5 years, mostly because I had a broken heart about me and Donna not getting married and not being able to have a relationship. And I backslid for 5 years. I could tell you a story about how God finally taught me how to leave in the town I was born and raised in. But so I joined the Army. Still was not really a Christian, although, I like doing this, y'all. So we'll just y'all don't mind, do you? Although I wasn't living the Christian life, I was still a Christian. I found that out through the ministry of grace. I found that out. I didn't know it then. I thought I might be in trouble. But I went to basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and they offered chapel on Sunday, which meant you got out of doing anything. You could just go to chapel. And bless God, God blessed me with a spirit-filled, born-again minister that talked about Jesus. And I'm a soldier, and I'm living like the devil. And I'm in that church raising my hands and blessing God. And look at one guy looked at me and said, "What are you doing? You? You?" Anyway, so I joined the Army for 5 years. Backslid 5 years, joined the Army for the express purpose of getting the college money, because I knew I was, see, I thought I was disqualified from the ministry. Everybody tracking? I want everybody to hear on. I thought I was disqualified. You know, I just did. So I joined the Army to get the college money because I was always good with numbers. I've always had a pretty sharp mind when it comes to numbers. So I wanted to go to school, get the college money, and become a CPA. And I stayed focused on that, and I did it. I did that. But I got busy. There's a whole another 9 years of my life I don't want to talk about. But in 1996, I met this woman. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She was strong mentally and emotionally and physically, and she gave me the courage to get out on my own and do some things, because I was a man pleaser. Most of my life I've been a man pleaser. And then I got into preaching the Bible, and if you tell people the truth, you can't be a man pleaser, Donnie, darn it. People don't, you know, if you tell people, you can't stand up here and tell people that's all right for those kids to act that way at the universities. You can't stand up here and tell people that we ought to have some kind of sympathy for those people in Hamas. We don't have, they killed and slaughtered babies and women and children. There's kids, I want to be careful. But you can't do it. And if you don't have the courage from the pulpit to talk like that, you need to quit. You need to give it up. You got to take the abuse that comes with it. But anyway, I got busy. I had to study for the CPA exam. That's about a 6-month process out of your life. I went to work. And I was living basically off the revelation I got those 6 months when I first became a Christian. But I'll fill in the gaps later on that. But since 2012, let me fill this in. Since 2012, since I got a hold of the message of grace and faith, I've been studying my Bible regularly since 2012. I think you can tell it in the way I present the messages and stuff. So anyway, so all these verses of Scripture I got before I was ever a Bible teacher in front of any people. I got this all on my own, reading the Bible with the Holy Spirit. I got it all on my own. Got it? Now, the next verse, I got this when I became a minister and I preached here. and taught here. I got this one by, but it's all part of being an epistle lady. And it's so cool. And it's just one word. For this reason, it's 2 Peter 1:12. For this reason, I will not be negligent. Preachers can't be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the, say it, everybody. Jesus called it all truth in John's gospel. The Holy Spirit would lead us in all truth. I got this here. I preached this one Sunday. I put this text up and I got the revelation. And God began to show me that what people, why people have such a hard time with the Bible is that some of the Bible is past truth. God's not killing people anymore. And there's no doubt he killed people in the Old Testament. Now, there was a reason he had to kill them, but he was killing people in the Old Testament. He's not killing anybody anymore. Some of us wish he would. If we're all being honest. But he's not killing people anymore. It's the grace of God that brings salvation that's appeared to all men. We live in the age of grace. Anybody you're listening to that tells you that we're under the wrath of God right now doesn't know anything about the Bible. When God's wrath come, you don't have to worry about it. When you see the sun darken and the moon not give its light and the stars fall from heaven, God's arrived. Can I get an amen? But anyway, a lot of what's in the Bible from Genesis to John is past truth. And a lot of things that Jesus said in the Gospels weren't really written to the born-again believer. They were written to the Jew. He said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, some of the stuff he says is prophetic. And again, nothing he says should be ignored. Please don't go off and say that. But it doesn't explain to you what it means to me. I'm not a Jew. I don't descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think I'm German English or something like that. I go all the way back to the poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning, they tell me. I'm a poet and I don't know it. All right, anyway. Present truth. Where's present truth? Everything in those epistles, every single thing in those epistles is present truth. It applies to everybody today. Here's something else. It applies to both the Jew and the Gentile. See, the Jews, bless their hearts, and we're going to support them. We're going to love them. We don't want anybody to kill any of them. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the Jews have to come the same way the Gentiles do, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With me? Man, we just hope that there are people on the radio and internet that have enough respect for my revelation knowledge from the Bible that you'll understand some of these things. Because the Christian church is only interested in, I don't even know what they're interested in. Just blaming, just thinking it'll all work out. Somehow it's all going to work out. God's in control. If you think God caused Hamas to kill those Israelites, you are a moron. Did I say that forcefully enough? He's only in control what you let him control. He didn't want Adam to do that. He didn't want Eve to do that. He came down in the cool of the day and said, man, where are you, Adam? Where are you? He knew where he was. Rhetorical question, but his heart broke. And he knew he had to fix it. And the only way he could fix it is he had to come down and be the second Adam. Can you imagine the creator of the universe, the creator of the sun, moon, stars? You imagine that? That's why he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. That's why. So anyway, everything in those epistles is present truth. Where's future truth? The book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Do I have any revelation on future truth? Very limited. Very limited. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. All I know is I'm trib somewhere. I'm tribbing it, baby. That's all I can tell you. But that's future truth. That hadn't happened yet. Sun's not been darkened. Moon hadn't given its light. Stars haven't fallen from heaven. That's future truth. Does it need to be studied? According to John, it says you should study it and that nobody should ever take one thing out of it. So it's worth studying. And again, it's got some of the greatest praise scriptures in all the Bible. There's some great praise scriptures about Jesus and the Father God and for your glory. We were made for his glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this revelation came to me as a Bible teacher. And so if I ever was going to write a book, and I probably won't, because Teresa keeps me busy doing everything else. No. But if I was ever going to write a book, I'd write a book and the title of it would be The Present Truth. Because that's where we're missing it. People are living in past truth. People are living in past truth, or people are actually living in future truth. They think this is all part of the, and it could be the beginning of the end time, because if they surround Jerusalem, Jesus is going to come rescue them. I don't have any doubt about that. Amen? Everybody cool with that? But I think I've made my point. Does everybody see that? What's the first revelation I got? I became epistolated. Did some minister teach it to me? No. Everybody that's done something great for God, they had a desert experience. I'm not calling myself Paul or Jesus or anything like that, but you got to get alone with God and get revelation for yourself. And you won't get revelation for yourself until you become a believer. So quit beating people over the head with the Bible. Tell them about Jesus. And then when they receive Jesus, tell them about the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. Praise the Lord. Sorry again that we can't sing. I can tell you our heart broke by it. Donnie loves to get his vocal cords going. I know. We're going to get one. Lord, we just give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank you so much for the living Word of God, that it is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to quicken the knowledge we need to survive as Christians in this God-forsaken world, because your Word is what builds us up. Your Word is what gets us the grace we need to be able to overcome. And so I pray that everybody that's listening by the sound of my voice will start with the Gospel of John. Get acquainted with the greatness, the unsearchable greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then get over there and read Romans through Jude and get that all marked up with a pen and paper. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're listening by radio or internet and you thought you were going to tune in to, can't think of the more modern country people, Luke Combs and Chris Stapleton, but you heard this guy preaching on the radio, it's not an accident. God wanted you to hear this. God wanted you to find these things out. So receive Jesus right now. Receive him. The Bible says, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's how easy it is. You just receive him. The First John says that if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in you and you in God. So simply say this with your mouth because you believe it in your heart. Say, Jesus, I receive you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead for my justification. By faith, I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name. Now you're ready to get that Bible. Now you're ready to read the Gospel of John, and now you're ready to read the books of Romans through Jude. Lord, we give you the glory, honor, and praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. That's revelation number one, and they build on each other.